Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's installment of the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. We're glad you tuned in. We welcome your input, too. Join us by calling 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, it's an award-winning magazine, a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. If you ever wonder about the significance and relevance of the Christian Research Journal, all you have to do is look at what is happening in our culture. Yesterday, in California, a federal court judge ruled against Proposition 8, the law that banned same-sex marriage in California. The judge said that the law fails to advance any rational basis in singling out gay men and lesbians for denial of a marriage license. Well, Joe Dallas, program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California, provides in the Christian Research Journal a rational basis for marriage to be restricted to a man and woman, not a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or any other combination. Again, the words of Joe Dallas in the Christian Research Journal provide the very rational basis that the judge said does not exist. Same-sex marriage seems a matter that does, in fact, warrant concern from believers and also warrants responsible Christian activism. It's true that we should fulfill the Great Commission, but it is equally true that we should fulfill the cultural mandate. You don't say, "I'm going to eat or breathe." You both breathe and eat. And as Joe Dallas has aptly pointed out in the Christian Research Journal, redefining marriage to include same-sex coupling raises the question of societal stability, as well as the welfare of children, both of which speak directly to the principle of cultural mandate or common good. And if both are affected negatively by a redefinition of marriage, then Christian resistance is called for, not primarily because of a biblical prohibition against homosexuality, but because of the negative impact same-sex marriage has on the common good. Research indicates that monogamy literally stabilizes cultural life. It shows that heterosexual couples are far more likely to remain monogamous than homosexual couples. There's also volumes of research that demonstrates children raised in a two-parent home by their biological mother and father fare far better in society and in academics and in their emotional stability than those who are raised in alternative arrangements. If research consistently shows that children function best when raised by their two biological parents, and that monogamy is more likely among heterosexual couples than homosexual couples, and if both child welfare and cultural stability impact common good, then a redefinition of marriage warrants Christian concern and response. You can't just say, "I'm going to abdicate the legislative process." We are called to be involved in the Great Commission and cultural mandate. That's the point. It's not one or the other. It's both and. Some obviously do resist any advance in gay rights for the wrong reason. They are prejudiced. But what we're talking about here is not prejudice, but fact-based conviction. It's unfair and inaccurate to assume all who object to gay marriage out of blind prejudice, when in fact, as Joe Dallas has so aptly demonstrated in the Journal, they could be basing their position on the reasonable premise that all citizens benefit when the definition and function of the family stays intact. So when you listen to the talking heads and you start scratching your own head and you think, how am I to think about this? Because maybe they have a point. Maybe Prop 8 should be dust and history swept into the dustbin of history. But on the other hand, if you're informed, you no longer scratch your head, you use your head. And you recognize that the judge is making a dogmatic assertion rather than a defensible argument when he says that the law fails to advance any rational basis in singling out gay men and lesbians for denial of a marriage license. And by the way, this is not only aptly dealt with in the Christian Research Journal by Joe Dallas, but in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, there's an article dealing with defining and defending the biblical concept of family, which is right at the heart and root of what this discussion is all about. And if that unravels, we are going to see chaos upon chaos upon chaos. We have been asleep at the switch because we're not ready always to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And the reason that we offer the Christian Research Journal, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the many ministries of the Christian Research Institute is to equip you to always be ready with an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within you, and to be able to give that answer with gentleness and respect, but in a persuasive fashion. So again, if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you probably want to do that right away. You can do so online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and as always, when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. Joan, Manhattan, New York.
Oh, hi. Really, I can't believe I got you. Hank, I have been listening to you for years. I don't know, 15 more years than that, and you are no longer here in Manhattan at, Anyway, I can't hear you in Manhattan these days. I'm a graduate of Alliance Theological Seminary. I graduated a few years ago. And I can't tell you how much I miss you. I do contribute to you and hope and pray that that you'll come back. I have called the station more than once. And I have learned so much from you, I can't begin to tell you. I've learned more from you than just so many. I mean, really, you know, it took me 6 years to get my master's in divinity. In any case, this is very interesting because my question is regarding homosexuality. Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's Hank, I have close friends who are. a number of really close friends, friends who've been, we've been friends for years, who are homosexuals. I recently had a conversation with someone who is a homosexual, claims to be gay, shall we say. And, you know, I couldn't remember the word you use when you say it's not an identity, it's a...
It's a behavior.
What's the word you use?
Yeah, it's not an identity, it's a behavior. Being
a behavior.
Human is an identity.
And that's the word that skipped my, you know, so I'm going to, I had this conversation with this person, and I didn't say behavior, I said it's an action. I said it's something, you know, it's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's correct.
I said, you are, you know, I said, I said, you know, you're a child of God. Now, of course, that's a question in itself, because also I've been told that a child, I'm not a child of God unless I've turned my life over to Him, unless I've been, as we say in Christendom, saved, right? But anyway, I'm, you know, it's difficult to tell a person that they're not a child of God.
But they're created in the image of God,
that's
and they
right,
have
exactly. They're
inestimable.
And God created them, and you know, et cetera.
Sure,
et cetera.
And they have value.
But anyway, my life now is all about carrying the message, and Manhattan is my field. Is I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know why, but anyway, it's where I carry the message wherever I can, and it's interesting the way I frequently do it too, because I find that just if I mention God's name, I can be talking to a salesperson and I'll say, oh, by God's grace, and then I'll, you know, it's so interesting how they'll either respond that they could be a Christian or they're not, and it gives me an opportunity to carry the message of our dear Savior Jesus Christ, who came down and died for us, and also died for them and for everyone. And I couldn't remember the word that you use, and I'd heard you say it so many times. It's not an identity, it's a behavior.
That is correct. And a couple of things that I want to say to you. First of all, commendation for wanting to be salt and light. That's what we're called to be. And secondly, I want to mention just on a practical level that you can get us on XM 170 in your area.
And you can, what's that? I don't do the computer, believe it or not.
Well, XM 170 you can get on radio. It's subscription radio, but you can get it by subscribing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's, again, X167?
No, it's XM.
M.
170.
170.
Yes.
Oh, and I can subscribe, and I would be able to get you?
You'd be able to get it right on the radio every day.
Oh, that's the most exciting thing I've heard in a long time.
And secondly, Joan,
oh, yeah,
the other...
because, I mean, I would come in and just, you know, even when I was in school, I just come in 6 o'clock, it's automatic. And then, you know, you were off for a while, then you came back here. And I called the station, I said to the receptionist, who knows me by now, and I said, Hank is back. She said, oh, I didn't know. I said, yes, he was on last night. And so she said, just a moment. She said, yes, he's back. And you just came back for a half an hour, not the full hour, but at least you were back for a half an hour. And then, as I said, then you went off again. So now, where would I go? How would I find out about this XM170?
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to just hang on. We'll get somebody to give you all the details on how you can get us an XM170. We're, of course, for everybody else listening in, also live streamed on the World Wide Web at equip.org, so you can check that out as well. And through God's favor in the future, we want to go on in the full hour format on stations that we're not on right now, but it's just a matter of finances catching up, and we'll go right back on those stations. So hopefully that'll happen in the near future as well. But thanks for your encouraging words, Joan.
Oh, you're welcome, and I assume your family as well.
My family's doing great.
Thank God, yes. I love to hear you talk about your family and your wife also. It's just, I just, you know, I consider you really a member of my family.
Well, bless you, Joan, and thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you so much, Hank, and then I'll wait and speak to whoever.
Yes, just hang on. And for everybody listening in, do remember that this is a ministry supported by people just like you. Without your support, we simply cannot circle the globe with the message that is making a difference for time and for eternity, bearing abundant, abiding fruit. So please do stand with us prayerfully and financially. Again, you can do that on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, do remember you can join us right here with your questions Monday through Friday by simply dialing 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. We'll be right back with more of the show. Please stay tuned.
If you appreciate Hank Hanegraaff's passion for the Word of God, then you need the Legacy Study Bible, which is designed to help you leave your legacy as you journey through the pages of Scripture. Hank's love of Scripture has also led him to produce Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book that deals with the aberrations so prevalent in today's churches and equips you to be able to discern truth from error. Hank would like to personalize a copy of the Legacy Study Bible, or for a limited time, a special numbered leather-bound edition of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, for your generous gift of $250. To receive a personalized copy of the Legacy Study Bible or the limited leather edition Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible edited by Hank Hanegraaff by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Context. It can mean the difference between understanding the true meaning of what's being communicated and completely missing the point. Take your Bible reading. You'll be surprised how many in the church today are following teachings that are simply not biblical just because of the interpretation of a certain passage. Now, get real help in navigating Scripture interpretation with How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. It will help you discern between good and not so good interpretations and know what makes them one or the other. With scriptural examples to show how to interpret biblical passages, it will help you understand more of what the writer truly intended. How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, co-authored by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart, is available through CRI when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym L-I-G-H-T-S. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, the biblical concept of family, and much more. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, let's return now to the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll return to your calls right now. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sandy. I think she's in Arkansas. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I have questions about the Antichrist sitting in the temple to be worshipped. Can you give me some scriptures that show he will be sitting in the temple?
No, I cannot.
Okay, we don't know that then.
No, in fact, there is no temple.
No, well, when the temple is built.
Well, that's a big presupposition, because from a Christian perspective, the very notion of going back to temple priest and sacrifice is tantamount to trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So in a Christian worldview, there's no need for a rebuilt temple when Jesus Christ fulfilled the symbolism of temple priest and sacrifice. All that pointed forward to Jesus Christ, who is the substance that fulfills the types and shadows. So we now celebrate not animal sacrifices, but we celebrate communion. And in doing so, we remember the passion of Jesus Christ upon the cross. So the whole notion of rebuilt temple is not part of something that we would look forward to in any sense as a Christian, nor would we fear. Antichrist is mentioned by John as anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And in that sense, Antichrist is both an institution or an individual that denies the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of Christ. So the person and work of Jesus Christ is denied by anyone who is an Antichrist or is against Christ. The actual word Antichrist never even appears in the book of Revelation. There is, of course, the word beast, and there's a very clear picture of a beast that wars against the Lamb. But the beast in Revelation is very clearly not an indication in any sense whatsoever of a 21st century character. Because John says clearly to a first century audience that they, with wisdom and insight, would be able to calculate the number of the beast, for it's man's number. Now, obviously, no amount of wisdom and insight would have enabled a first century audience to calculate the number of a 21st century beast. It would have been cruel and dangerously misleading, in fact, for John to suggest to first century Christians that they could identify the beast if, in fact, the beast was a 21st century individual or institution. So while the beast certainly has significance in that all of Revelation was written for us, although not written to us, we do not have to fear a beast sitting in a 21st century temple.
Okay. Well, I know that that Israel is considering that, and many people are for it over there. And I had my impressions.
Israel can't consider that. I mean, if think about this logically. If you set foot on Temple Mount in a provocative way, it's tantamount to lighting the fuse of Armageddon. And on the on Temple Mount now, there's the Dome of the Rock. So if you in any way suggest some destruction of the Dome of the Rock so a temple could be built in its place, as people like LaHaye are suggesting, or even if you go contra LaHaye and build a temple next to the Dome of the Rock, either case would be considered so provocative that it would start, no doubt, the fuse of Armageddon. Now, if you read 2 Thessalonians 2, it speaks of a man of lawlessness who sets himself up in God's temple and proclaims himself to be God. But that's best understood as having been fulfilled in the first century in the very sense in which I just articulated.
Okay. Maybe, yeah, that's probably where I got some of my information.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate that. That will help a lot.
Okay. And I've
Thank
written
you
about
so
this. If you want the information in detail, I've written about it in a book called The Apocalypse Code.
Oh, yes. Okay. I've seen that. I will definitely look that up.
Thank you, Sandy. Well,
thank you. Bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jim in Orlando, Florida next. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, great, man. I've been listening off and on since Walter Martin was on the air, and I miss him, and I love you. You're great.
Thank you.
You're the perfect man to take over his spot.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, buddy. I have a question about, I have a couple, but what about Glenn Beck? What do you know about him, and what do you think about him?
Well, you know? I think there are a lot of great things that he says and does. I personally am not someone that likes to listen to him a whole lot, not because he's a Mormon, but because oftentimes he makes self-stultifying statements.
He's a Mormon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
a Mormon. I didn't know that. I thought he was a Christian.
No. Mormonism is an offshoot of Christianity, a sect of Christianity.
I know, but Mormonism isn't Christianity.
No, it's not.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that, man. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's a Mormon. Oh, wow. That's freaking me out.
Well,
really
sometimes if you listen
really
to him
is.
Carefully, the Mormonism comes out from time to time, but you got to listen carefully.
Well, I do, but, you know, from all indications that I had, he was a Bible-believing Christian. I know your stance on Mormonism, and I believe it. I mean, they think Christ is a spirit brother of Lucifer, right?
Yeah, in fact, you can actually hear Glenn Beck talk about that in one of his shows, where he actually goes to the pre-existence in which you have Satan and Jesus Christ, who are spirit brothers. So Lucifer and Jesus Christ in Mormon theology were conceived in flesh by a celestial mother and then came in flesh as a result of the Father having sex with the Virgin Mary.
So they're
souls that exist or pre-exist. And in the Mormon view, Satan had a plan and Jesus had a plan. Satan's plan was rejected. Jesus was received. And so Jesus got to do what his spirit brother didn't get to do. So that's kind of what's going on. But you can hear him actually talk about that in one of his broadcasts. And if, again, as I say, if you're listening carefully, you can hear the Mormonism come out.
So is he saved?
Well, I cannot judge anybody's
heart,
but Mormon theology is theology that does not save, because it's a works-based religion. Not only that, you have to ask the question, saved to what? In Mormon theology, salvation is not the same as in Christian theology. Christians believe that they're going to stand before God dressed in the spotless robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Mormons believe that they will appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons, holding good works in their hands. Then, according to Latter-day Saints or Mormons, virtually everyone qualifies for heaven. Murderers, unrepentant whoremongers, the world's vilest people make it into what they call the celestial heaven. If you're a lukewarm Mormon, or a religious person, or those who accept the Mormon gospel in the spirit world, they get to go to the terrestrial heaven. And then if you're a temple Mormon, then you can make it to the celestial heaven. And if you get to the third level of the celestial heaven, then you can become a god of your own planet.
A god of your own planet. Oh, my word. Oh, I had no idea. I didn't know enough about Mormonism, but I guess. But, man, it freaks me out because I love going back talking about the country and all that, but I didn't know his views, so that's why I asked you. And my next question is, my sister is gay. This has to do with your opening, so it's great. My sister's gay. She had a child, a daughter, who's 3 years old right now, through in vitro fertilization with another homosexual guy.
Yeah.
Is that right or wrong? I mean...
Well, in vitro fertilization, well, first of all, the union is something that doesn't help the common good. But
right?
What I would say is in vitro fertilization is problematic for a whole host of reasons. You need to be very, very careful with this process.
Right.
The most clear reason for this is that it's an established scientific fact that human life begins at conception.
Yeah.
Okay? And discarding embryos or destroying them through experimentation is the moral equivalent of killing innocent human beings.
Like abortion, right?
Yes. So yeah. If you freeze an embryo... that is morally objectionable. So if in vitro fertilization is used, no more eggs should be fertilized than the couple is willing to give a reasonable chance at full-term life.
Right.
So I think that's one of the big issues. You also have other issues going on here, and that is this. And this applies to the situation exactly as you described it. The introduction of third parties through sperm or egg donation or through surrogate motherhood is inconsistent with the biblical pattern of continuity between procreation and parenthood. If
right.
In vitro fertilization is used at all, the sperm and the egg must come from the husband and the wife committed to raising the child. There are potentially disastrous consequences of third-party involvement, and that's clearly demonstrated throughout the scriptures. So I think the circumstances you described it is problematic to begin with, and then if you add in vitro fertilization without really clear parameters and qualifications, then you have a bad mixture.
I actually told her that she was selfish and she didn't want to have a husband for the kid. She's a beautiful girl. I love her so much. Her name is Campbell. And I really have bad feelings about what my sister did. But
well, remember, and this is evident in your voice, you want to reach rather than repel. So we want to reach the very people that Christ died to save. Remember, as a Christian, we believe all are sinners, but they can repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ and be restored to a right relationship with Him for both time and for eternity. And He's left us to be the agents in that process. So the normative way in which people receive Jesus Christ is through people just like you. Be right back.
It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today?
Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym, DISCERN, is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, helping friends find their way to Christ, the biblical concept of family, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS, available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today online at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And to follow up with what you just said, do remember in Greek mythology, the task of the god Hermes was to interpret the will of the gods. In biblical hermeneutics, the task is to interpret the word of God. Simply stated, hermeneutics is the art and science of biblical interpretation, a science in that certain rules apply, and an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you'll get at it. The rules can be remembered easily using my Hankronym lights, just as helmet lights assist miners to discover gold beneath the surface of the earth, so each letter in lights will aid you in drawing out of Scripture what God intends you to understand. Our goal is to remember what each of the rules represents and to know how to apply each of the rules in reading the Bible for all it's worth. And that's exactly what this flip chart gives you. It's memorable. It's laminated 4x6. It'll fit in a pocket or a purse. And as a result, you will be able to master the principles of biblical interpretation in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Again, available this month, a brand new resource for your gift to the ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Our address, if you're writing, is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. If you're speaking with our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk next to Bob. He's listening in Columbia, Montana. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
We're doing fine. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you, first-time caller. I was just wondering, my cousin in Idaho, she lives in Napa, and she says she's a big Jehovah's Witness. I've tried to share with her several times, but she always turns me off and everything. And she told me that, you know, she believes that she's got to move to Montana. She's got to move to Missoula, Montana, because she says that's where the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to gather on the last days. I think it's 144,000 and all that stuff. And they say that's where the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to gather to be saved on the last day, so they won't have to put up with God's wrath.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've, I've never heard it before, but I, you know, I've done a lot of study, but I never heard anything about that before.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising at all. And the problem is with the premise in Watchtower theology with respect to 144,000 people who are going to make it to heaven, while the rest of the Jehovah's Witnesses, probably your sister, will live apart from Christ on earth.
Right.
So in Watchtower lore, there's a little flock of 144,000. They get to go to heaven, and then a great crowd of every other Jehovah's Witness who are relegated to earth. The heavenly class are born again. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They partake of communion. The earthly class simply do not. Now, this is a misunderstanding of what the Bible says with right. respect to 144,000. The 144,000, this is a number in an apocalyptic book that symbolizes the full complement of God's people. So the notion that God has two classes of people is completely outside a biblical worldview, as is the notion that they can know that in the very near future that the end of time will come. Jehovah's Witnesses have been Armageddon Incorporated for many years. I mean, they've right. constantly predicted wrongly.
Oh, yeah, I've known that. I've known that they've, you know, had several predictions when Jesus was going to come back and, you know, when he was going to set up his heavenly kingdom and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, they haven't been wrong, haven't been right at all about it. I mean, they've been wrong every single time. So, I don't know, this is a new one. Like I say, this is a new one. All of them are going to meet in Missoula, Montana. I tell you, I don't know. She's going to come up here next week and look it over so she can decide whether she really wants to move there or not.
Well, I hope you will be able to share the gospel with her. And remember, sometimes it seems as though it's just an impossible situation. There have been many Jehovah's Witnesses over the years that I've spoken to. And the thought in my mind when I was done was that was sort of a waste of time. I didn't get anywhere. In yeah. one of those occasions, I remember distinctly because several years later, the very person in the Watchtower organization that I thought was impossible to reach now was a Christian, and not only a Christian, but a Christian teaching other Christians how to witness effectively to Jehovah's Witnesses. So you can plant a seed, someone else might come along and water that seed, and then pray that the Holy Spirit gives the increase.
Right.
It's difficult. Sometimes it seems daunting, but with God, nothing is impossible. So pray and equip yourself.
Yeah, that's for sure. All righty. Well, thanks a lot. I just didn't know for sure. I've never heard that, so I didn't wanted to see. I figured you'd know about it. If anybody would know, you'd know.
Well, good talking to you, Bob.
Good talking to you, and I really enjoy your program.
Thank you so much. Back to the phone lines now. Jason, Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. To be really quick, to the point, I have a group of friends, and we've been studying the Bible for a while, and for whatever reason, a subset of our group has gravitated to what I'm calling the Sacred Name Movement, but they have this firm belief that Yehoshua is the one and true and only name of Jesus, and that if you don't believe in that name and call on it, that basically all the other promises that Jesus doesn't know you because you don't know his name. And they have all these other things, of course, that leave into a lot of other legalistic avenues, but that's their main premise.
Right.
I really don't know. I don't want to spend a lot of time arguing with what I consider fellow believers on an issue that I don't know that I can directly pin down, but I was just hoping maybe you had something I could pin down.
Yeah, it's not difficult.
Oh, great.
Here's how to go about it. If you look at the New Testament, it's written in Greek.
Well, their argument is the Peshittas, or Peshittas, I think I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, they believe that it was originally written in Aramaic.
Well,
believe it or not.
Not true. I mean, there are Aramaic portions in the New Testament, but the New Testament, by and large, is written in Greek. And with respect to the name, and that's what we're really talking about here, Iesus in the Greek.
Sir.
And from that, we get the English Jesus. Okay? Now, although the ancient Greek was fully capable of transliterating the Hebrew Yeshua or Yehoshua, that's not what we find in the New Testament. A likely theological reason for this is to show that the gospel is a genuine invitation to Gentiles who are invited to call out to the Lord in their own language. So, just by virtue of the Greek, Iesus, which you will find in the New Testament, you have an opportunity to say, here you have the Greek form of the Hebrew in the Word of God. Why? Because it sets a precedent by which you can call out to Jesus Christ in your own language. If you're Dutch, you're not going to say Jesus in the same way as if you're English. If you're French, you're not going to say Jesus in the same way as if you're English. And so the issue is not the particular translation in a language. The issue is really that you have the right Jesus, that you have the Jesus of the Bible, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, as well as the one who condescended to cloak himself in human flesh so that we could have a relationship with him for time and for eternity.
That's great. I appreciate that. It's so clear, concise. I thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And the case for the original autograph of the New Testament having been written in Aramaic is extremely weak. The evidence overwhelmingly points to Greek. So they're using not only a flawed argument in the sense of you have to say Yehoshua, but also a flawed argument in terms of how the original autograph of the New Testament was written in the first place. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chuck, listening in Greenville, North Carolina. Hi, Chuck.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have decided to teach Revelations in my Sunday school, and I've been trying an aggressive pattern, trying to learn as much as I can for about an 8-12-week period. And one question that I have gotten a little bit confused on, I've not found an answer for, and if I'm wrong with any of this, let me know, but when the tribulation period comes, from what I have read, the 144,000 will act as prophets or people to help the Jewish people find Jesus Christ and then be saved during that period of time. My question is, that's for the ones that are alive during the tribulation, is because the Jewish people are the chosen people of God, after Jesus Christ to the tribulation period, the people that have died before that time, those Jewish people, will they be given any special consideration, or will they be looked at as anybody else that didn't accept Christ?
Yeah, a couple of things. First thing I'd say, Chuck, is I think particularly since you're going to be teaching the book of Revelation, it would be really good for you to read my book, The Apocalypse Code.
I've got that ordered.
And the reason I say that, and I'm so glad you have it ordered, is that I think the premise of your question belies the fact that there may be some misconceptions on your part with respect to the 144,000, as well as specifically with respect to who is Jew and who is not. True Israel is never determined biblically on the basis of nationality. It's always determined biblically on the basis of spirituality, and that's why Ruth, who was a Moabite in the Old Testament, is true Israel. Why? Because she believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and therefore she was brought into the fellowship of types and shadows pointing forward to the coming Christ.
Right.
This is the same thing today. I mean, if you listen to the language of Peter in the New Testament, he uses the very words that were designated for ancient Israel, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people called out, to refer to people from every tongue and tribe and language and people who've embraced our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's never a matter of genealogy. It's always a matter of your relationship to Jesus Christ, and that on both sides of the cross of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, although I would like to continue, I can't because I just don't have the time in this broadcast. The book will help you distinctly in this matter. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Here's what you can do right now. Start dialing this number, 888-ASK-HANK. I will answer your questions for an additional hour right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call right now, 888-ASK-HANK.
Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. or call us at 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
We are engaged in a war. A war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. Our passion and purpose is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources.
If the Bible Answer Man program has ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271.